came over on the oldest boat, an old cattle boat, and it stuck, and you could hear the cows lowing. And it was dark, pitch black. All was rotten. And it was a night sailing. And Rosie was saying, see all them lights now, you're coming into England, you're in England now. I'm still on the water. So I didn't know where I was going. I was still on the boat, and rough. It was very, very rough. How is she? Do you think she'll be all right? Oh, she's all right. Yeah, that's all I have to be. Where's all the people? People, you were just carried along. Rosie laughing her head off him. Where's all the people going? Are they all going to mass? Ha, you daft, you. No one goes to mass here. I remember that remark. And I thought, I come to it all. What have I come here for? And she was on with them, you're too slow crossing. So this time, of course, coming up Market Street, I know it, and I can recall it now. And then, of course, the car was turning the side road. Oh, I had to jump. You're telling me that I'm always too slow. Now look what, and I nearly got killed. I nearly got killed.
Everyone in Tarman sends their love to you.
And do they still remember me?
They do indeed still remember you. Never forget you.
Well, I suppose I was a bit of a... Anyway, we'll start at the beginning, wherever that is.
So, well, Vincent, did you fly over?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And, flew over yesterday.
Did I put the kettle on?
Yeah?
Yes, we have.
There were seven of the Gwyns, the Carleys. And Mickey. Mary, Mickey's my mother. Oh, Sarah, Rose, Johnny, Teresa, Lizzie, and Mickey.
Yeah, my mother and father, they're a big age now, aren't they?
Yes, mm-hmm. They would be.
The house in Carton Beg was beautiful, small, whitewashed, thatched, two rooms and a loft. There's a photo of it in Tessie's home in Withenshaw, another in Rosie's room in Mariana House in Wally Range, where she's been living for the past 8 months.
Granny did. She was amazing, wasn't she? How she used to cook and clean, you know, and bake.
Yeah.
Do all the washing.
I was coming from Mass this morning.
The two sisters, my aunts, who have lived in Manchester for 60 years and more. Tessie's memory clear and passionate. Rosie's smudged and darkened by Alzheimer's, which began about 6 years ago.
Would you like another cake?
Yes. Tea and cake.
We will.
You like it?
Nothing better.
We will. I'm not taking any drinks and I need drinks.
Yeah.
Johnny, Rosie and Tessie all emigrated. Sarah went too. As she says herself, she bought steam in 1948. She still lives in New York.
Oh, that's great.
Mm. Mm.
Haven't I a nice little family?
Yeah. You do. You do.
Yeah.
A nice family when you can come in and... Yeah. Oh, well, that's what you think. Mm. There was nothing for us, is it?
Yeah.
And Lena Murray... Are you still with us?
Yeah. And you're always mentioning Lena, aren't you?
Oh, Lena.
Lena.
Do you know, another night, well, I couldn't stop talking to Lena Murray.
Lena Murray, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Miles.
We are me and Rosie and Johnny all left home within a month of each other. Johnny left in April, and we must have left.
What year was that?
I think it was only about... Oh, God. I know. I never voted in Ireland. Never. You were had to be 21 then to vote, but I never cast a vote. First time I ever voted was here in Manchester.
Well, Mum came over in 1946.
Well, she was two years. Didn't you? Yeah.
She was here 2 years, yeah. And then you came.
I remember coming like the spring after that very heavy snowfall. Do you remember? There was an awful lot of people. Rosie came home for the Christmas that bad year, because she was in Salford. I went back with her because I wasn't getting £2 a month. Mrs. Kane, I used to go to get the fresh milk for Earlys, and the last morning she said, "I'm sorry," she said, "you're a lovely young girl. I'm sorry to see you going away and going to England." So I said, "Well, I need to better myself and I need to get a proper job and get some money." I said, "I'm only a slave here." And she was telling me about another Irish girl, so she knew. And she said she did the same now as you. She didn't happy in her job. And she went to England and she was murdered. Oh, what a God.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, that's the truth. Yeah. That's really, she said, maybe I shouldn't, I don't want to scare you, but be very, very careful when you go away. You're among strangers, you don't know who they are or what type they are. She said she was a lovely, respectable girl, just like you, but he murdered her. And I thought to myself then, maybe I'm making a mistake, so maybe I shouldn't be going. I wasn't getting £2 a month in the Earlys, and that was looking after two children, all the housework. Well, I can remember the couple that had owned the bank or was working in the bank in Drumshambo, and she had a young baby, and she wanted to know who I was, how did she come to get me? She wanted to know if I had a sister that she could look after her baby. She said, "What does she? Is she very? She looks so young looking." She said, "Does she look after the baby?" "Oh, she does everything." She said, "She does the washing." "You mean your laundry?" "Oh yes," she said, "she does everything, looks after." Yeah. So that was wrong.
Yeah.
I felt ashamed really when she said, "Does she do the washing?" "Oh yes, she does." Christmas, cook the turkey. I suppose I'd only be about 18. I think it was there nearly 2 years. That's why I thought, well, won't that? And Rose said, you're working, you're doing two people's work here. And she said, you're not getting any money. But she was getting £3 a week into her hand. She said that was the first job that ever gave her, paid her proper.
Yeah, proper and gave money.
Yeah, acknowledged her work.
And she solely, because she said it, she was solely just responsible for the children.
Oh, why?
She didn't have to do all the housework. And from coming from Degnan's where she was working. Like,
oh, God, they'd be there.
She couldn't believe it.
12 o'clock at night, and then you'd have to clean up the bar, clean up the shop,
she often didn't
clean
get
up
to bed
the house.
Till about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, Degnan's was hard, very, very hard. And your mum didn't know that, and a short while I told her, I said, when I was in Earlys, I ate at a side, it was a bench where you stacked your cups and washing. Yeah. That was my table. She used to say that when Dennis is away, Breeda Mary, that was the little girl, she wants you to be next to her. Yeah, I said, because I always feed her. I didn't think that it applied to me in person. Looking back now, I thought she never should have stood with that old thing. Because I remember one time going into the town to Granny when his mother was here. So you used to have to get messages, and it was a fair day. She had the hump on her, the old Granny. And she said, what you come through the town for with the baby and the pram on a market day? I've come in an hour to come to get the milk, I said. But she started blackguarding me. I'm not coming here no more. So she must have told Dennis, that's her son, you see. And he railroaded me. I said, who the hell do you think you're talking to? You're no different to me. I said, I won't be spoken to like that. Then that's why I made my mind up to come to England. Johnny was going to America. I always remember that. I can still see him. And he turned round and he said, always remember it. He was very, very, very lonely. And he said, well, I suppose I won't be seeing you for quite a long time yet. And we all just said, oh, Johnny, you're coming back. You're coming back. Oh, I'm coming back, he said. Mm. He never did.
Tell me who that is.
He's a, well, I don't know whether he's a Curly or a Greenfield.
Who's that?
I don't know. Oh, I do. That's Vincent.
Yeah.
That is Vincent.
That's not Vincent. Who's that?
It is Vincent. Yeah.
That one's Vincent.
Not straight away, wasn't
it? Yeah.
Who's this?
Yeah.
No, this here. Look.
Oh, yourself, you were.
No, not me.
It was. There were certain things that just.
That's Patricia.
This me. It was almost like a betrayal. Like, do you tell people? And
I couldn't get the table.
Because she'd always had such a fantastic memory.
She interrupting you.
Yeah. Always. I mean, we relied on Mum for everything, for dates.
My mother died 16 years ago. Rosie's last letter to her, saying goodbye, was written mainly in Irish.
She was on the top of the mountain, she told me.
In that clear hand they all had from Cartran School.
Well, I'll get her a drop more.
I read it to her.
Well, God Almighty.
That's what she wrote.
And she said to me, do you manage to get it? Well, now, where, how would I get it if you got it? I know, but so you talk to everyone. I said, well, you're not a bad... You're not a bad one at yourself. You can all talk.
Yeah. You used to always... I can remember when we were kids and we used to... We got on the bus and there'd always be somebody you'd be talking to. And then we'd say, did you know them? And you said, no, I don't have met.
Well, we didn't anyway.
And then you were telling us not to talk to strangers.
But that went.
And she then she started... turning up for appointments at the wrong time, you know, hospital appointments you couldn't miss. So, I mean, we used to, think, oh well, I've got to go to this appointment. I'd take her, but I was sat there waiting with her for 3 hours, and I went up afterwards, and we shouldn't have been there. You know,
it was little things like. I mean, she was a fantastic baker, and it was one time when we went round to your house, and she'd baked a cake, and she'd forgotten to put. Sugar in it, and it was just, well, that's not that. And she went, well, how could I forgot out? I mean, how could I have done that? You know, and so it was just a build up of many many things, and very gradual, yeah. Mm. And then she got
knocked out quite a few times.
Yeah,
she was very edgy because we're staying at Nancy's house then, Harold. If I went to run the tap, oh, you can't run the tap, you have to pay for the water here. Mm. I said, how am I going to wash my face if I can't get a drop of water? I couldn't understand that at all. But she was herself, she was too preoccupied.
She probably felt an imposition, maybe, were staying.
But she should have left me. I said, I wasn't a child.
Yeah. Or maybe she felt responsible for you as well.
I thought that, you know, she was pushing her way too much. I remember saying once, the way I talk. Mm. I said, I talk the way I always talk. There's nothing wrong with mine, nothing wrong with my voice. I'm not shouting, not fighting with anybody. It's you're too particular. You're watching me instead. Well, but all them, I said, how are they talking? She shut up. Yeah. She left me alone then after that. I can remember one and get on a bus and we're all coming home. Betty Collini was there, me, Rosie, Mary Towie, and there was someone else. And of course, and I had no money much then. And I went up, I was fed up with them that day. I'm going back home, I'm not staying here, I'm going home. And I went up to the top of the bus and they were at the back. I thought, I'll show him now. Got my own ticket. I just come up. You shouldn't do that. You're supposed to pay for someone else. No, I said, you pay for your own. Go and get your own ticket. And bother. You're not with me and I'm not with you. And Betty laughed and she said, quite right, Teresa. You're quite right. She said. Now, Rosie, she says, she's only just come over. You were wrong there. You're annoying her now. I said, I'm going home. Half a wish I did. And Mary used to say, you went from one meow to another one. It hadn't changed me, though.
No.
No. So I often thought that maybe Rose would be better if she was like that.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
No. But free and easy. I'll never forget my roots, though. Yeah. Oh, never. No.
When we used to go over to Ireland, our grandmother, she would, like, just grab hold of you and say, oh, agra, and just, like, grab, you know, and just squeeze you. And, you know, even though there was no running water or no toilet in that place, we stayed there. We never even noticed that there wasn't, and yet we came from a city, and it was made so easy for us.
We'd got the train to get the boat, and then we'd get on the boat, and then we'd get the train over to Carrick, didn't
we? And that was the only time you'd ever get a taxi as well from the house to the train station, you know, when we were going.
But and then Charlie Flynn used to get the in his VW, and the you know we'd six all pile in. There were six of us. All laughing, and we'd be our heads would be banging on the top of the roof, you know, the ceiling. But the funny thing was that it was just like everyone just piled in, but it was like that magical journey, you know, when you're coming through and it was dark and you couldn't really see anything, but it was all that big chatter of everybody in the car and this feeling of stuff, but like looking at getting glimpses of hedges and you know. Yeah, and it's that kind of magical journey that you know those experiences that you don't forget, and it's
but the welcome from everybody was just absolutely amazing, absolutely, and the laughter as well.
But it was all the smells as well. It was smells of the off the peat on the fire and the smells. I mean, I always remember going, you know, you're into Mary's and the smell of the buttermilk and the bread that she was making and the warmth of that the cooker and she always came to greet you. I mean, and it is that kind of that whole warmth
and then the saying goodbye was the hardest part, because people used to absolutely just break the hearts. My grandmother and everyone, they'd just be crying, and then we'd get in the car and we'd all be crying, and you know.
Well, I remember when, like, being very, very little and not quite understanding, like looking. I remember the first sight, because I thought, you know, when you haven't seen your parents cry, and everybody was crying, and I remember thinking, what are they all crying about? And that, you know, it's that sense lost, and it's only as you know you go again and you understand, and as you get older, you understand that sense of loss of, you know, obviously sometimes they never saw people again, and the whole distance thing, but it was that overwhelming loss, yeah,
and it was as though you would never ever see them again, and yet you'd go next year, you know, but there was that feeling of there was a feeling that might never happen.
That was a history for them, wasn't it?
Yeah, that separation.
She never got over Johnny leaving. Well, I remember Johnny when he was only 19. He was in bed, crippled, minus knee. Kneeling, and used to be in bad air, candles go out. Back, I can remember that. His backbone, skinned, cut, bleeding, through.
Because they had such little space to work.
Oh, yeah, no wonder they never wanted to come back. It was blood money, that.
It's like going in hell, that, wasn't it?
No, it was.
I remember Mam saying that your mother bought him his first long trousers.
Oh, I'd say so. Yeah. Oh, I would. She never got over Johnny leaving. That was... Life is laid out for you.
And I'm going to have a drop more. And you can do the rest yourselves.
We will. Do you remember Johnny then working in the pit, Rose?
I do, but I can't remember the lads having to go up the back. They used to always say, we're on the back tonight.
On the back shift?
Yes, the back shift, yeah. And last night, there was a very heavy fall of snow.
Lizzie had Alzheimer's too. Like Rose, she went back to the past, to her home place in Carter and Beg, to the people long gone who returned to life, returned to the present in her mind.
No, to tell you the truth, I was worried because I couldn't see a sign of Lena Murray anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Nor Paddy. And I haven't heard of Paddy for a while. So come on now and tell me. Which is something wrong with Paddy Murray?
Well, you know, Paddy and that they're quite, they're much older than you.
Oh, you do.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
So they're not around anymore.
Oh, are they not?
No.
Lena Murray and Miles, Francie Flynn and Katie McHugh, Paddy Murray and Josie, Frank Murray, Nellie Redhan, Lucky Biddy,
who would that be?
Fleming.
Hmm.
I was often asking about people that I used to know.
Yes.
I do know, it's amazing how they have gone and forgotten.
Yeah.
Do you remember Mammy gone when she left school? She went to London for a while.
My mother left school after the primary cert.
Oh, yeah.
She was 12.
I remember when she came home. Oh, she was lovely looking.
She remembered a school inspector asking, "Who's that girl with the beautiful Irish? She should go on to teacher training."
I was only thinking of that the other day.
And the teacher saying,
"She's beautiful, golden, fair hair."
"Sure, they're as poor as church mice."
And I thought, whatever happened to her?
The inspector gave her half a crown.
It was lovely. And they used to say, "Oh, well, it's the shampoos that you can buy in England." Now, that's the truth, Catherine. Yeah. Because when Mary's hair was, and her skin was lovely. Because she was going to go in for nursing then, and she was very...
Why did she come back?
The war.
Because of the war.
Yeah, well, she wasn't. She was only about 12 months gone to England, so... But I think she always intended to go back, and I often wonder, you know... Because really, you know, she never had any much...
That's tough.
Life. Married into, then there was no work. Yeah. John had no salary coming in.
Rosie, Tessie, Lizzie, Sarah, Mam. Mm.
But if she did go in for training, I don't think she'd have come back to slavery.
Their grandmother, Sally McKenna, had gone up the hills to Ahamore to learn Irish.
Because she was, you know, she really was very...
Sean McDermott came to visit
quick
her.
Quick thinking, deep and, you know.
"Will Gael Gaelgoth," he asked. "Lon Sack. Our shishy."
Remember Daddy saying after Mum died, I remember him telling us that he saw Mammy first when she was 12 and she came over from your house, from home, with a setting of eggs and her apron. He was about 18 or 19 and he was up with his uncles.
Mammy always said that. It wasn't a great thing that he settled down and that he didn't want to go to England or he wouldn't go to America.
My mother went up those same hills when she married my father.
The land was the thing then.
The view down over Loch Allen, the nights of music in that house.
Because that was the one thing Mary said, "Oh, Mary, you're great. Trot, you'll have many a sore back climbing that. I wouldn't like to be going up there now."
It was high, wasn't it?
It was. Oh, yes, it was. Yeah.
And you remember the morning they got married, I think, don't you? And you remember Mammy leaving the house to go up? And your mother...
No.
Did your mother... It was something they used to do, to break bread, or there was a little bit of a blessing for somebody leaving.
I remember Mary walking out the door, and I remember Mammy, and I thought, I wish I'd written that down, what she said to her. I remember her saying, "Well, now, Mary, you're leaving home, you no longer belong home," and I don't know what followed after that. But I do distinctly remember seeing her going out that door, the two of them, and she pulled her back. The same as when Johnny was going to America. Johnny was slipping away. Mammy had gone round the back and she heard the car. And that bird came down the chimney, hopped out right in front of him, out the door to the car.
The bird did?
Hmm.
Where Johnny was...
Yeah, when he was going to America.
Yeah.
And she thought Johnny was trying to get away or get in the car before she'd come. And I believe it was terrible. She idolised him. Never was the same again. The house, me and Rosie gone a couple of weeks before that. It was too much. She didn't recover. And he took some of his money, pound note, 10 shilling note and a pound note. And that he sent it back to Mammy. And she cried for a week. The coal dust was in. He couldn't use it, it was no good. And she kept, she had that for years. And she had it in a little pot dog in the bedroom, beside where he slept. And she said she'd never spend it. I don't know. Well, she missed him terrible. For years, and he always sent money home. Mm. You know. And he must have, I'd say he was, that it was an awful wrench for him to go to Chicago. The loss was, I always remember that one.
Is
there a
Roisin
Clements in
here? No, nay. Are you not here,
are you not? No.
There's a woman
with a very cold calving. So she has to look after that. Are you here? Are you right?
No, I'm over there.
Are you? And did you not leave it with him?
No, I want you to eat that. Oh. All of it.
And is it all right?
Hang on a minute, Jane. I think you've got your tea now.
When did you get that in?
Noreen just made it.
Oh, God. Shall
I just take your cup for you? Would you like
no,
a drop more
yours.
Tea?
That's yours.
Yeah, God bless you.
God bless you.
Have an old drink, Mrs. Go on.
Oh, God. Am I going up on the bong?
Yes, we're going. Me and you are going to Dublin tonight.
You're coming with me, aren't you?
No, I don't think so. How do you know?
Oh, bloody hell.
What have you done?
Oh, Nori, you're right, making a right rocket there.
I'm telling you.
Aye, we were making sure that we saw you.
Are you having a go at me?
I am.
I'll get you later when they've gone home.
You know, Irish Community Care was a big outlet for mum, but they used to go out buying things, you know, their own money. Mum was a pensioner. She used to go out buying clothes and food and take it to people that they'd go and visit. And a lot of them were, you know, Irishmen who had come over as young boys and men and, you know, worked on the lump. They didn't have any pension, they didn't have any insurance. And, you know, they're in dire straits. And they'd be living in places like Hume, Mosside. Nobody else would go to those places. I mean, they had
in high-rise flats on their own where people would be even scared to go, you know, my mother would go. And she always said, you know, these contractors, you know, when they're all at the Irish Association dinner,
they
made the money on the backs of these people who were broken men, you know.
And the fact that they were Irish and they understood where they were coming from. I mean, some of them used to call them nuns, didn't they? The nuns.
And they had the big farewell do, you know, what they used to call the wakes, the American wakes.
Yeah.
Eva McNiff was there, and she sang that song, The Moon Behind the Hill. And she could sing it. She was lovely. And the house was full. And I can hear that rafting up there. There were some glorious nights there. That had a great, great spirit, the people, you know.
Because
they were out on the street dancing 4 o'clock in the morning. He never went to bed at all. And he had to go to... And the blooming ship was nearly shipwrecked. It was a terrible storm. He was thrown out of the bunk, I suppose, wherever they were. Big hole in the underneath. So we nearly lost. They had more to go through.
Yeah.
I wish he had come home, though.
Johnny was young when he went to America, wasn't he?
How old was Johnny?
Mm.
Do you know, I never knew he was in America.
Mm-hmm. Years?
Did you know he was?
Mm. Yeah, he went... Well, you were in Manchester. You went to Manchester then, didn't you?
Did he go before Sarah went?
We might have got together on the same... But no, I... Well, how I used to remember about Sarah, but never... No. Mm. No. And is he still there, or has he come back?
No, he's not still there.
Has he not?
No.
Yeah. Well...
Johnny, he went to Chicago.
Did he?
Mm.
Yeah.
And you were all very sad when he went.
I suppose I used to like him.
You did, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, she was only little and they'd say things. Yeah, but it was nice things I was saying, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. I remember, now I didn't know who it was going, and I said, oh, now they're going to leave their mummy and daddy. And it must be someone that was being in before. And I was crying and I said, oh, and did they go before them, their mummy and daddy? So that was the story.
When people left Ireland, like Johnny would have done, people were sad, weren't they? Because you never knew whether you were going to see them again, would you?
Oh, never.
Yeah.
No, it's true, that.
Because America was a long way, wasn't it?
Very, yeah. And you got the first cut, you know, I was going to say the first cut, the first entrance into it, and you felt, well, you'll be a foot in the door now anyway. But I used to look up sometimes at the top of the mountain and think, wasn't that an awful place to live?
Because I have that letter for years that Ma wrote to me. I was in the Manchester Royal then, and it was all blobbed, all crying. You could read it, but you could read a lot into it. Had it for years. But you see, if he came home, then he couldn't go get back. He'd have to reapply because he never got citizenship, you know. I suppose he never intended to stay. He intended to come back and...
And it just didn't happen. And...
No.
So many did.
And he made a lot of money. One or two I spoke to, Mary McCann's husband.
Mm.
But that was your mum again. And that was, I think... They were in Lizzie's Annie when we were all there, and he said to me, I'll tell you now, he said, I'll tell you about your Johnny. And your mum pulled me away. No. She wouldn't let him talk.
What do you think he was? Well, because...
I don't know. Whatever, she didn't want to hear it. They looked at us that. Mm. They often wondered. Mm.
Before your mother died, just before she died, and she didn't know that Johnny was dead.
Oh, no, no,
never told her. And when she was dying, she said, I'm going to be with Johnny. So it was as if she did know.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
She might have premonition. Mm. No, she never gave up. He was there in the back of her memory. That's what she's pined for him, really and truly. But we were wronged.
Yeah.
Terribly wronged. I never acknowledged that in the letter I got, never. And I remember getting that on All Souls Day. On my own, in St. Anthony's.
Yeah. Mm.
the day the news came home that he died.
So it just shows you.
41.
Yeah.
41.
He didn't merit to work as hard as he did and save and get to. Because Johnny was not poor when he died. He did not die in poverty and he did not die in disgrace.
No. Well, there was nothing to show for his life, was really, was there?
But they were there, and they made sure.
Johnny never came home. He died in Chicago in 1972. He was 44. They never told Granny he was dead. Sarah would write the occasional letter to her mother, signed, as ever, Johnny. My mother would read them to her.
When's your uncle to come down to me, see me?
Yeah, fantastic, isn't it? We'll let you have a little rest here now.
The Leitrim woman. Yeah.
That's right, you are. This is probably one of the best times for a while for all of us, because we have had time, you know, we're happy that Mum's happier.
Mm. I want to go home too. I want to go back to Leitrim.
Yeah, you do.
I don't.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we went a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a great time, didn't we?
Oh, I liked it.
It was great, wasn't it? We all went back.
Didn't we all know where they were living?
Yeah. As Mum used to always say, I've got a fantastic family. You're all so good, and you know, and not one of them fights
he
with
never
each
fell
other.
Out on anything.
And she was. It was like a mantra, wasn't it? Yeah.
And the thing is that, you know, you just think.
I mean, we are lucky because we all get on so well. I mean,
after she retired from nursing, she used to continue to work in nursing homes and after Dad died and look after old people with their dementia. And she knew very well, and she was such a caring woman.
Yeah.
She was lovely, and she knew what it was like. She was saved. The Lord only left me in my mind. I'll be happy. I don't want anything else. And she prayed so much about everything, and that didn't happen. And her faith, you know, is still there, but her mind's not.
It was the cruelest thing because it was. Yeah. I mean, if you,
I would never have ever thought that Mum would have lost her memory.
No, never.
No.
But you never regret.
Oh no!
Manchester.
Oh no! No! Oh. Well, what would we have? What would you get at home now? So, where would we get work? It's very, very, life is very difficult. But you can't dwell on it because it's not of our making.
Shina will, that's my story. August, I'm digging too.
Dig him the mat.
Dig
him the mat.
Yeah. Well, we had a good night. And I looked after you all.
You did.
Did I?
We had a good ramble.
Did I? Great.
Did
welcome
I help?
There.
Yeah.
But that night, when I shook up and I was frightened to death.
Yeah.
Well, and I won't keep you now, love. And I'm deeply grateful to
Jessie.
You for
great
coming
for
you. Here, see you. So, we'll be all right. No, don't be worrying about us. Best foot forward.
I know.
Little bit of me left.
There's a lot of you left.
Yeah.
Crazy. I wouldn't know myself sometimes.
You're absolutely.
A fantastic memory.
Very clear. Always, But and sometimes now I think, what the hell did I leave that? And I think, what's coming wrong with me? Happy hour.
Yeah.
Around the fire.
Yeah. No.
It's not a bad title for that.
Yeah.
Oh, the Mohicans, really. God.
Gonna go now, Mum.
Well, Sloan Latinish. No, God
bless you. We'll all be delighted in Tarvin anyway. Yeah, will you? That we saw you.
Bless you all. Rose. And thank you for looking after me.
Yeah. Roisin?
I'm here.
Will you come with me? A minute.
Where are you going?
Come with me for 1 minute.
I will then. Don't throw me out of the bog.
I'll throw you right out of the bog, I'm telling you.
Three of them gone. Mam, Johnny and Lizzie. The past alive and vivid and fading. Tarman, Manchester, the bridge.
You look, you've just done a big toe again.
Do it, I can't see what I'm doing.
Straight ahead.
The rich, remembered voices.
You know where you are now.
Sarah, Mickey, Tessie, Rose.